in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, "Take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering to me up on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up. I'm going to tell the story rather than read it. He rose up. He took two men, two servants, and a donkey. Put wood for the sacrifice on the back of the donkey and other food and other supplies. Made a 3-day journey into the land that God told him of. And there he saw the place on Moriah that God spoke of. Saw it afar off. And he stopped and he unloaded the wood off the donkey. And he put it on the back of his son Isaac. Now we may have a picture in our mind of a 5 or 6 year old child being laid on that altar. But he was at least 16 years of age. Jewish tradition, I can't imagine this myself, but Jewish tradition says he was 37 years old. Now, I tend not to believe that because when God told him, don't hurt him, he said, do the lad no harm. I'm not calling my 37-year-olds lads. Well, they're 47 now. But nevertheless, I know that he's got to be a teenager, strong, plenty strong, because the wood that's on the back of the donkey that's going to burn a sacrifice to ashes is now then bound up on his back, and he carries it up that hill. He's strong. They're going up the hill, and all they have, he's got that bundle of wood on his back, and he's carrying it up that hill, and he looks over, and Abraham, his father, has a censer with fire in it. He says, "Father, yes, son, the wood I see, the fire I see, where is the sacrifice that we offer?" And Abraham speaks these words, "Son, our God will supply Himself a lamb for a sacrifice." Remember those words. "Our God shall supply Himself a lamb for sacrifice." They go on up the mountain. They build an altar, the two of them working together. And they lay the wood out on the altar. And then Abraham binds Isaac hand and foot. Now, if Isaac, let's say he is 16 years of age, Abraham then is 116 years of age. Of course, he lived to be 175. It's a little different than what we imagine. But he's an old man. His body was dead before Isaac was born, as concerning childbirth. And it's impossible for him to force that child on that altar. It's impossible. There's no way this 116-year-old man can overpower this 16-year-old son that's carried the wood up that mountain, overpower him, tie him hand and foot, pick him up, put him on that altar. He can't do it. It's incredible to me that there's a father that's so trust in God, because he didn't expect to come down without Isaac. In Hebrews 11, it said he believed that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which in a like manner he received him. He told the servants, "Wait here while I and the lad go and worship and return." So, he's trusted in God. When he raises a knife and is about to plunge it through Isaac's heart, he's trusting God. And I say this, I always say this, if anybody is here is so carnal that you would ever think that God would tell you to go kill one of your sons, I'll tell you that it didn't happen and it won't happen. God tested Abraham, and oh my, 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 what happened that day? But just as he's about to plunge the knife through his heart, the angel of the Lord cries out, "Do the lad no harm! Abraham, Abraham!" He says, "Here I am." Be quick to answer the Lord. Don't say, "Lord, wait just a few seconds while I finish what I'm doing." And Isaac is dead before you answer the Lord. But he says, "Here am I. Do the lad no harm, for I see that you've not withheld your son, your only son, Isaac. See that you love me, that you fear me. He lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. Not a lamb, a ram. But he offered the ram instead of Isaac. That's substitution. That's true. See, Jesus died in my place so that my old man would die with him. And he slew the ram, offered it, and oh, what rejoicing. He's seeing the day of Christ. He names that altar Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Now, our theology corrupts everything. Our theology turns the Lord will provide into a prosperity message. Need a new car? Jehovah will provide. Need a fine home? Jehovah will provide. Need more money in the bank? Jehovah will provide. But what was Jehovah Jireh saying? The Lord will provide Himself a lamb for a sacrifice. And it said that He put an inscription on that altar, the Lord will provide. And when it's written, 400 years later, this is written by Moses. And he said, unto this day it said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. It's a prophecy of Calvary, people. It's a prophecy at Calvary where God would provide Himself a lamb. Praise the Lord. The Lord will provide. It's a prophecy of the Son of God. It's a prophecy of a lamb that would be offered. Isaiah catches a glimpse of it. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone turned unto his way. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquities of us all. Like a lamb, he is led to the slaughter. You know, without opening his mouth. He speaks it there, but he begins to bring in that idea of the lamb, even in Isaiah. But when John sees the Holy Ghost come upon him and hears the voice of God, said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. It's the next day that he sees him. And he cries, behold the Lamb of God! Look, this is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the Lamb that God has provided. This is the day that Abraham saw when the Lamb would be sacrificed. This is the day of Christ that is promised. Hallelujah. Oh, what rejoicing. Abraham desired to see my day. Jesus said, and he saw it and was glad. Let me tell you, if you see His day, you'll be glad, you'll rejoice. It's glad tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. Because that's what Calvary's about. That's what the cross is about. Praise the Lord. A Lamb who was slain to take away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Blood that was shed to sanctify the people with His own blood. He suffered outside the gate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.